Hello, hello, hello. I am about to invite our guest in, and then we will get started. I hope everyone is having a great day. I'm super excited about this live. Awesome. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm amazing.
Good. Feels so good to be on. Just getting adjusted. Okay.
All right. So people will just be coming in and out. So we'll just go ahead and start. And as they come in, they'll be able to catch it. And I'll post it to our IGTV as well as our YouTube once we're finished.
Sounds good.
All right. So hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Courtney Galloway. I am the owner and founder of Freedom Revamped. Freedom Revamped is a platform dedicated to helping others find their sense of freedom as well as discover their God-given talents. And today with us, we have Miss Denisha of Waiting in Heels.
Yes.
So first, I want to ask you, can you give us a little insight of what Waiting in Heels is?
Yeah, definitely. So Waiting in Heels is a blog, my blog that I started after I went through my own purpose journey. And so God gave me the vision in 2015. We launched in 2016. And Waiting in Heels is basically geared towards single women of faith that are in their waiting season that may not know how to wait or exactly what waiting looks like. I think a lot of us think that when we're waiting for God to answer our prayers, we're just, you know, sitting back, chilling, not doing anything. But waiting is actionable. You are preparing for that thing that God is going to bless you with. And I think that's where a lot of people sometimes get it, you know, twisted, thinking that they're not supposed to do anything, but there's a lot that you can do during that time of waiting. And my blog also goes over like my own journey, lessons that I've learned. I've also started Daughters of Wisdom, which is for women that are married, have been married, and they write to the single women giving advice, lessons that they've learned, demystify what marriage is all about. I think sometimes we romanticize marriage and not fully, truly understand realistically what that commitment and the joining of the two people is really about. So that's what Waiting in Heels has been. We're about to transition into offering more courses, webinars, seminars, actually geared towards finding purpose, you know, getting out of debt. So when we talk about what you should be doing during your waiting season, these are some of the things that you need to be doing. You need to know exactly what your purpose is so you can attract your purpose mate. So that's what Waiting in Heels is.
Awesome. I absolutely love what it stands for, which is why I was like, I have to reach out to her to interview.
Awesome.
How did you get the inspiration behind it? Because I know for me, it took a minute for, like, God was telling me, you need to do this. And I was like, are you sure? Like, is this me thinking this, or is this actually God speaking to me? So how did you know I need to go ahead and walk in this? This is my calling.
For me, I was on a journey of finding my purpose. And I was in a career or getting into a career that I thought this was what I was supposed to be doing. It took me a long time to find my purpose. And so I've experienced different careers, different ways of doing things. And this one particular career that I was in, I was like, this doesn't feel right, but I know I can do it. And I think a lot of us sometimes, you know, we mistake purpose with what we're good at, you know, but it doesn't mean that that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I went through a season where I was like, you know what, God, no more me. it's you. What do you want me to do? And I heard him, Courtney, like as clear as day, tell me, you can continue on the path that you're on. You'll be successful, but that's not what I called you to do. You know, and it was just a thing of follow me. I know what's coming ahead, follow me. And when I made that decision to follow God, that's when Waiting in Hills was birthed. So it was a season of journaling. It was a season of fasting. It was a season of really seeking God for his will and not my will. And that the summer of 2015, God was like, okay, everything that you've been going through, document it and tell it. And I was like, okay, podcast or this, nope, blog, you know, document what you're going through and share it. And so that's how a good friend of mine, we stayed up one night and we were coming up with different names. And I was like, oh, Proverbs and this and that and Waiting in Hills. That's what we're doing, you know, and hills are symbolic on so many different levels, but that's how it was born the summer of 2015.
Awesome. So a part of Freedom Revamped for me is allowing people to define freedom for themselves, because I feel like, especially for African Americans in these days, it's like, are we truly free? Yeah. So for me, I like allowing people to define freedom, because freedom for me may not be what it is for you. Like, I might be struggling with something that I need to be free from that you're not necessarily struggling with. So mm-hmm. for you, how would you define freedom? And then once you answer that, how would you say you practice your definition of freedom?
Ooh, that's great. Freedom is the permission you give yourself to show up authentically as you. So you're not bound to what other people think you should be doing. You're not bound to showing up as someone else because that's what your parents expect. You are showing up as who you are, who God has called you to be. So I practice this by always showing up as Denisha. Is this truly aligned with my values? Is this truly aligned with how I think and what I value and what I cherish? Am I really doing it because it's in agreement with me, or am I doing it because I feel forced? Am I doing it because this is what my mom said I'm supposed to do, or this is what the church says that I'm supposed to do? You know, is this what God telling me to do, or am I just operating in what I've been told all these years? And I think for me, I've definitely had my quest of trying to find what freedom really felt like, because I didn't feel that I was living authentic. A lot of people on Waiting in Hills know that I suffer from alopecia, and for years I wore wigs. Alopecia is an autoimmune disorder that attacks your hair follicles. And so for years, you know, I wore wigs and I wore weaves, and I wasn't showing up authentically as myself. So last year I made the decision of cutting off my hair in Courtney. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done, but it was the most freeing thing that I ever did. And now, you know, if you was to tell me my hair can grow back tomorrow, I'm just like, because I love it. I love the freedom of waking up in the morning and not having to worry about, you know, how my hair is going to look, even though I shave every day still. But just the freedom in showing up as who Denisha Nicole Bailey is, and not what society defines as beauty, or not as what society tells me I need to be. So I see freedom as you being who you are and showing up as that person every day. I think that that is truly, truly being free.
Yes. Yeah. I just love how when you were stating it, and I pay so much attention to how people word things, you said, I'm showing up as how Denisha Nicole Bailey is. You didn't say I. And while I is, you know, a pronoun, I feel like putting our names on things
yes.
is so important. So yes. Up as who Courtney Kayla Galloway is so important. to freedom, because I did struggle with that a lot. You know how some people say like they're different with different friend groups or something like that, and I get it, but at the same time, I was like completely altering who I was based on who I was around, and that was something that I needed to be free from. So just walking in the freedom of showing up as Courtney is something that I'm still working on, but it was one of the first things that I realized I was almost like a chain for me.
So, it's a process. It's not, I think it's something that we still, like, even though you know you're supposed to, we didn't get this way overnight, you know? So showing up authentically as ourselves is going to take it being a daily habit. And there might be times that you slip back into, you know, I'm around this person, or I'm around my parents, or I'm in the church, or, you know, you might slip back into putting other people's needs and expectation above your own. But then I find myself, wait a minute, you know, just doing a check-in, like, am I okay with this? Or is this kind of not, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing? And that definitely does help me as well to stay authentically me.
Yes, for sure. So the entire point of this live is pursuing purpose. And I know you touched briefly on it when you were telling me about your journey of waiting in heels, but can you put a specific definition to purpose for me?
Yeah, I think we make purpose harder than what it is. And I define purpose as simply why you exist. Everything has a reason for existing. When you think about your car, when you think about the vacuum, when you think about the pots and pans and a pen, you know, everything has a reason to why we exist. And when I think about the larger picture, you know, when I go back to Matthew 28, 19 to 20, we get the Great Commission, right? We know that we are here to make disciples. But how does that look for Courtney? How does that look for Denisha? Everybody is not meant to be a pastor, a minister, a deacon, you know, and God never said to make disciples in the church. You know, we are out here in the world, and our lives, how we live, is supposed to be a light to Christ, or showing people how, you know, oh, wow, there's something different about her. I wonder what that is. And a lot of our purpose will be tied to our gifts. And we see in, I think it's in First Corinthians 12, 7, or just that entire passage from 1 through 9, I believe, it talks a lot about our spiritual gifts, because we're spiritual beings. And we know that we all have different gifts. So exactly what are you supposed to be doing with your gift? And I think that's where we get stuck. It's the how part. But how is this Great Commission supposed to look for me? You know, I'm not a minister. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. Exactly what, Lord, does that look for me? And I think that I discovered my purpose by doing. And I think a lot of people get stuck. Like, I'm not going to do anything. I don't know what it is I'm here for. So they don't explore. And for me, coming to my purpose was very explorative. It was trial and error. It was pursuing things that I was interested in, that I liked, you know, that I was good at. Didn't necessarily mean that that's what I was supposed to be doing. So specifically for me, I had a professor. This is the first time I'm mentioning her name, but Dr. Juanita Suarez, when I was doing my first master's, she told me to stay back, you know, delay graduating a year and consider education. And I told her, absolutely not. I'm not teaching nobody's, I'm not trying to. And this is after teaching in the graduate department. I was like, I'm not a teacher. You know, my mom's a teacher, this person, but that's not me. And when I left grad school and came back to New York, I got into a situation where I saw certain things, you know, within the youth weren't exactly like I left 10 years ago. Why am I coming back in Brooklyn still the same? Why am I coming back in, you know, the kids that I'm encountering, because I was in higher ed, encountering still don't have certain skills that they need. And so that path, that inquiry led me on a path into education, even though I did not plan for it. And I fought it. Courtney, I fought it. I left. I pursued something else. And in the midst of me pursuing something else, God was like, that's not it. Trust what the process. And so I came back into education. I came back into teaching. And one of the things I realized is that teaching for me doesn't mean it has to be traditional, right? Like, even though I've taught middle school kids, God has given me Waiting in Heels as a platform to teach women, to reach women, to help women, to minister to women, you know, but it wasn't with me fighting, I couldn't see that. So when I eventually said, okay, no longer my will, but your will, you know, he made the provision. And then after I started teaching Waiting in Heels, and after Waiting in Heels, I'm now a certified life coach, you know. So next year, I'm going to be, that's what I'm launching. I want to help women find their purpose. And I think purpose is definitely tied to your passion. That thing, that passion comes from the Latin word of root of to like to suffer. So that thing that, what will you suffer for? That thing that keeps you up at night, that thing that is connected to your why. And so for me, I had to go through this journey so that eventually I can help other women of faith find their purpose path. And so it has definitely been a worthwhile journey. I had to look at who I was as a person. I had to look at my strengths, had to look into my gifts. And I had to spend time with God, you know, and I felt like once those things, and there were some other things that I did that helped me solidify exactly why I'm here, why I exist. So, yeah.
Well, you just gave us a lot right there.
I'm passionate about purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, it connects to so many things. I think people get into careers, and of course, you need to make money to survive, but know that God came so that Jesus came so that we can have life, and we can have it abundantly, which means that, you know, I should be living a good life. I should be living and walking in my purpose. I shouldn't be, you know, remaining stuck and not knowing exactly why I'm here, you know. And I think that that is definitely some of our biggest struggle. So.
You mentioned that, you know, we're all here to bring people to Christ. And it looks different for everyone. So when God gave me the vision to start Freedom Revamp, I was in a place where I was like, you don't want anybody else to do it. I felt like I needed to be, I don't want to say perfect, but I felt like I needed to be better before I could present what he wanted me to present to the world. And so I grew up in church, and I'd always heard a few people say, especially when I was going through stuff, they'd be like, it's going to be okay, but just know that what you're going through right now, it's for a reason. Like you just said, it's for a reason. And I was literally coming out of that when the vision for Freedom Revamp was placed. So I was like, maybe I need to wait. And so stuff just kept popping up where it was like, no, now, no, now. And I'm like, but now, Father, like, me, right now, you want me to do this right now? And so he was like, yes. And we're not, a lot of people say we're not supposed to question God, but I feel like we need an understanding of who he is. And prayer is conversation with him. So when I'm asking why, it's not coming from a, You crazy guy. From that standpoint, it's coming from a place of almost unbelief that he wants to use me.
Yeah.
That's what it was for me. It was like, Courtney, of all people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he kept telling me that I needed to do it while I was going through it. Like you said, write about it, journal about mm-hmm. it, tell people what's going on. And so with Freedom Revamp, I just keep on, while I'm going through stuff, I have to tell about it. That way people can see the entire journey. Because right. I feel like if we wait until we've gotten through it, they won't get it. Like,
right.
like, oh, so you just got there. But it took so much grit, grace, tears, all yeah. that. So just, that is my purpose, to show people the entire process of overcoming things. Yeah. And it definitely took a lot for me to understand that and to even accept it, because I felt like I wasn't worthy enough, honestly,
mm-hmm.
to walk into the purpose that he had for me. And I think that's where a lot of people just remain stagnant, because yeah. I can say that because I almost did. And we remain stagnant because we don't think it's for us. And even when he revealed it to me, I was trying to do it in a way that he didn't want me to. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and a lot, like, so sometimes we know our purpose, but we don't want to do it his way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
girl, this can be like a whole two. I'm like, you got time?
Because
I got more stories. No, but it's so true. I think a lot of us get stuck, and we have to get over the imposter syndrome that we have, where we think we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we're not equipped. And I don't even think we believe that we're not equipped. I think that we believe that we don't have the power that God has given to us, that's in us. Yeah. And we doubt ourselves, we see where we've been, you know, we think that we have to be this perfect person when we show up. But that's definitely not the case. And we see all throughout scripture where people were used by God that were not perfect,
right?
You know, but they, through their lives, through their obedience, they were able to make a change and a shift for the kingdom of God. So I think that, you know, God is definitely calling the imperfect, you know, he's calling those that are not perfect, so that in him, in our weakness, we can be made strong in him, because it's through him, it's not through our own accord. And I think that that's the key thing, right? We want to do stuff in our own power, we want to do stuff in our own vein. Well, when I have that 800 credit, you know, then I'll become the business coach. Or when I have, you know, it all together with the husband, then I'll coach, you know, other people on how to. And no, you know, there's power within the journey. There's power in our testimony. Yeah. And we can always help those that are struggling too, you know. And as we overcome, we're helping others to overcome. And that therefore leads back to our purpose on earth. The Great Commission, you know, is to eventually lead those to Christ. And the only way we can do it is by our story of imperfection, not the perfect stuff. People want to know, okay, how you did it? Like, what was your struggle? That's what really connects, you know, with people. Even though we like the glamour and the seemingly perfect lives of people, we also want to know, you know, what did you struggle with? How did you overcome so that I can overcome?
Right.
You know, so there's definitely power in our imperfection.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you just keep on dropping. You mentioned that sometimes we feel like we're not equipped, and that reminded me, and I don't know why I didn't think about this earlier, but this whole process lately has been so hard for me, of remaining just faithful and consistent with what Freedom Revamp is. Mm-hmm. And so this week, my sister and my cousin just have been really just pouring into me stuff. And one thing they both said that stood out to me is, God did not ask us for our qualifications. He didn't ask us what we were qualified to do, because he's going to equip us to do it. If it needs to be right. done by us, he will give us all the tools. And sometimes those tools are there and we don't even see them.
Right.
Like, because right. we don't want to. Like, I did not want, I was like, no.
Right.
But he didn't ask us for our qualifications. He's asking us to for pursue our purpose.
Yes, yes. And your gifts and your story qualifies you.
Yes.
You know, what you've been through qualifies you to help someone else coming up that's struggling with the same thing. So we don't need, you know, the lawyer after the Esquire after our name or the doctor before our name. We need our story. We need to show up authentically as ourselves. You know, so when you show up authentically as Courtney and you're talking to people and you're ministering about what freedom looks like and how they too can live a free life, that qualifies you. And that's what's going to connect to those that are drawn to you, that are connected to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kristen just said, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Exactly. Exactly. Something we always have to remember, especially when the imposter syndrome wants to sneak up and rob us of what we're doing. Yeah, he qualifies us. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. Yeah.
So you actually answered my next question of what was your, how did you discover your purpose and what was that journey like? I'm going to ask you the question after that is, can you give our viewers some advice on how they can begin pursuing their purpose?
Yeah, I think people, even in language, we have to be careful with, you know, I need to find my purpose. Your purpose is not lost.
Right.
Your purpose is inside of you. And I think discovering your purpose is going to take four things. There's more, but I'll just focus on this four. It's going to take self-awareness. Mm-hmm. It's going to take you being aware of who you are, what your strengths are, what your story is, where your struggle is, what you're passionate about. Is going to take a certain level of self-awareness. It's also going to take a certain level of honesty. You got to be honest with yourself. You know, I had to be honest and face the fact that I've been running from my purpose. And when I was honest and when I gave myself over to Christ and God's will, then I was able to step into that purpose. You're going to also have to have a conversation with God. You mentioned prayer as a dialogue. We need to understand that we pray to talk to him, but then we need to get quiet to listen. And that's where we skip that step. You know, we pray. We give a whole soliloquy. We've given a litany. God hears us, you know, and he answers, but do we hear him?
Right.
And when we build that muscle of actually listening and becoming familiar with the voice of God, we can also grow in discernment. We know exactly, okay, this is what I should be doing, or nope, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. If I had not listen to his voice, I probably would have been in that other career, suffering, upset, mad, because that's not where he wanted me to be, but that's where I wanted to be.
Right.
And then it's your why is the fourth step in discovering your purpose. It's your why. What makes you passionate about this one particular thing? What is your story? What is your why? You know, I know that I teach because I understand the power of education. I understand the power of informing others and watching people grow. And I love when the light bulb goes off, even in my students' minds, and I see the aha moment. You know, when people are able to make connections for themselves, you know, so that's part of my why. I want women, before they become wives or mothers, to have an understanding of who they are and what their purpose is, so that now they know what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what my purpose is, so I know that the person that God has for me has to be aligned in that. Or there's going to be problems in the home. And it doesn't mean that my purpose partner has to do exactly what I'm doing, but there has to be a level of support. And there has to be an understanding of, babe, this is what I do. You know, this is what I do for the kingdom, and I need your support in this way. Because if you have two different mindsets and you have oppositions going on in the house, there's going to be struggle. And it's just going to put more pressure and stress on the marriage than needed. So definitely understanding your why will help you connect even to the people and opportunities that God will begin to open up for you. And then you're able to also walk away from things that don't support your why. You know, not everything that's good is, you know, for you, you know? So your why is key in discovering your purpose. And like I said, next year I plan to coach, and I actually have an unstuck, what I call it, the unstuck method, where we actually go through these steps and some more steps to actually getting you to understand your purpose. So
that is awesome. I don't see any viewer questions. If you guys have any, please drop them down below. That was all of the questions that I had, and like I said, you answered a lot of the other questions, so thank you so much. Have given me a lot of insight. Like I said, I've been very discouraged lately, and I was like, I've just been needing reminders to keep going because it's for him, not me.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it leads back to the whole notion, like I said, of passion. Like, what are you willing to suffer for, endure for? What are you willing to be patient about as God is bringing it, you know, through flourishing? What are you willing to like even at night wake up for and pray over? It's not something when you discover like your purpose is not something that, okay, it comes and it's everything is perfect. It's a labor, you know, it's something that you're going to definitely, there's going to be moments where you have to push through because there's going to be opposition. You know, we know that the enemy has a purpose, and we know that roadblocks will come, you know, but we have to stand in his will and persevere and push through. Be passionate about that thing, because that's what's going to help you get to the next level. And then a door will open up, and then you get to the next level, and then another door opens up, you know. But if you give up because it gets hard, then you won't, you know, you won't go the full distance. And it's, I think anytime I try or think about, I don't want to do this, you know, I think about, you know, even Jesus's journey and what it must have felt like, especially towards the very end, knowing what was coming up, but still pushing through, you know, still like, because it's not about you, you know, it wasn't about him per se. It was about him dying for us so that we generations down the line will be saved, you know? So I think about, it's not about Denisha. It's about the women that, you know, that I'm called to help so that they can, you know, pursue their purpose, so that they can get unstuck and live the life that they desire to live. So I definitely feel you on that part. You have to encourage yourself, because it gets hard. It definitely gets hard out here in these streets. But you know, you have to persevere. Definitely have to persevere.
For sure.
So are there any questions? I see people are out here.
I know, hearts and worship hands and comments, but yeah. I think you did such a great job at expanding on the answers that they don't even, they're probably speechless. But at the end of each of my lives, I always allow my guests to shout out either, if they want to, their platform, or even another platform that they think people should know about that maybe ties into the topic of pursuing purpose or even freedom in general. So if you have anything yourself or anyone else that you want to shout out.
Absolutely. Well, the first person I'm going to shout out is myself.
Yes.
I am the founder, CEO of Waiting in Heels. So you can definitely follow me on Facebook and on Instagram at Waiting in Heels. I have a website, waitinginheels.com. And it's about, in a couple of weeks, it will be taken down because, like I said, we're about to revamp and offer different services, different courses, but definitely my IG page will be up and running always. In terms of, I call these women my purpose mentors. So Mashawn Evans Daniels, if you don't know about her, definitely follow her. She is a woman all about purpose, about living and dreaming bigger. And then there's also Stephanie of Godlywood Girls, who I consider to be my purpose mentor as well. Those two women are definitely powerful when it comes to pursuing and living purpose. And they are my purpose mentors, as I like to call them. So you have three, you have myself, and you definitely have Marshawn and Stephanie as some women. You know, we're out here doing the work and helping other women live bigger and dream bigger and walk in their purpose.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. Yeah. I definitely want us to maybe do a part two of this conversation.
Absolutely.
Even another topic if you want, because I like love your page when I saw it, but now I like love you. So,
oh man, thank you so much, Courtney. When I saw this, I was like, oh, absolutely, I am there. So yes. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is definitely not the last time. For definitely sure. Not. Definitely not.
Yes. So thank you for the live and thank you for everything that you're doing at Waiting in Heels as well. So.
Definitely. Thank you. Yes. And thank you guys for also joining us tonight. Appreciate yes. it.
Thank you guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the rest of your Monday.
I know. You got a whole nother week, a whole new week.
Yes. But I will speak to you soon.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. And just a reminder to everyone that the Freedom Defined t-shirts, as well as our, I don't know if you guys can see it very well, but the Freedom Defined t-shirt, as well as our other shirts, are available on the website. And please be sure to follow Miss Denisha at Waiting in Heels. I will put all of her information when I save it on the IGTV as well as upload it to our YouTube. So once again, thank you guys for watching and bye.